Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is not with us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking again with Lindsay Kaiser. You may recall when Lindsay joined us for Season 6, Episode 12, to talk about narcolepsy. She's joining us today to talk about the challenges of living with narcolepsy, dysautonomia, and fibromyalgia, also the challenges of the coronavirus that have added to her ability to find and receive medical care.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on again. I hope everyone's doing well.
We're okay.
Yeah, we're not too bad, thankfully. especially with, there's a new uptick again with Corona.
Yes.
So, just hanging take it there. Day by day.
Hanging in there.
Lindsay, I'm kind of curious. I remember when you talked with us about narcolepsy, it kind of sounded rather horrifying at some parts. But is there an overlap with the symptoms of narcolepsy, dysautonomia, and fibromyalgia?
Yeah, there definitely is. They have their own challenges, mm-hmm. but there is a lot of overlap with symptoms. All three can cause a lot of sleepiness, fatigue. There's a lot of brain fog involved with each. And they kind of all play into each other. For example, one of the things they tell you with fibromyalgia is, to get, as good of sleep as you can. Mm-hmm. But with narcolepsy, that's not something I can do.
Right.
So it's a challenge, distinguishing, when I'm having some of the symptoms, which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because there is a lot of overlap. And, that made it difficult even going through some of my diagnosis. Narcolepsy was the first diagnosis I had. So when I started complaining about, some of the pain that I was having, how my sleepiness was getting worse, some of those things, mm-hmm. They tried to almost say, is it narcolepsy getting worse?
Oh.
But there were additional symptoms, that helped distinguish that. So there always is a lot of overlap.
Sure.
I feel like with a lot of, not just rare disease, but chronic conditions in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
And do you find that one condition, might affect or exacerbate
right, like you
others?
Said, with the inability to sleep can make everything harder. Are there other overlapping factors
that make it harder on other? Yeah, like maybe the narcolepsy makes it harder on the fibromyalgia, or the fibromyalgia makes it harder on the mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it kind of goes both ways.
Okay.
It's not, necessarily narcolepsy making fibro worse. It kind of is both directions.
Okay.
Fibro and dysautonomia, can cause the sleep to get worse, which I already have with narcolepsy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, not getting that restful sleep also makes everything worse.
Mm-hmm.
And like something I've experienced with the dysautonomia, for me, my dysautonomia has affected more my blood pressure.
Okay, right.
And naturally, when you're sleeping, your blood pressure drops anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had periods where I'm, in a dead sleep and I wake up just extremely nauseous, and it's because my blood pressure has dropped so low.
Oh, okay.
So then I have to wake up, get that settled back down, and then go back to sleep, which, causes an even worse night's sleep, which mm-hmm. can make brain fog.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the physical, pains and aches and things like that worse as well. And having to, kind of just juggle everything, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Right. Have they ever suggested or prescribed oxygen therapy for you at night?
They have not. It's not something that happens every single night.
Mm-hmm.
it's like it goes through spells. So right. I'll have it, you know, where it happens for several weeks, and then I may not have that happen again for months. And dysautonomia for me was my most recent diagnosis.
Okay.
So that's something we're still figuring out.
Okay.
Too.
Okay.
And Lindsay, how has the COVID pandemic affected your ability to receive medical care and get diagnosed with things?
So COVID hit kind of right as I was starting to have symptoms.
Okay.
You know, and like many of us, you know, it was kind of nerve-wracking going out in public,
mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, not knowing what I had, you know, and in my mind, I'm, you know, wondering, you know, is it something that's going to cause my immune system to,
sure.
you know, be down?
Right, right.
Just that not knowing. For a while, I kind of tried to deal with my symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of those were not things I could do over a video visit.
Right. Yeah, you can't do like a blood pressure test or a tilt table test over a video call.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My own fear, I think, kind of delayed my diagnosis away. And also, you know, I know at least where I was, I did see a longer period of, you know, waiting to get into some of these specialists
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with COVID, you know, one of the things it can cause is some of those heart issues,
mm-hmm.
breathing problems, things like that. So getting in to see my cardiologist was taking longer, you know, which was where we ended up doing the tilt table through.
Okay.
And like they had redone things where I had to specifically go to a hospital, had to do several COVID tests to even get in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, me going into a hospital, you know, I went in for my tilt table in December, you know, which, you know, was still pretty bad for COVID at
mm-hmm.
that point. So that even was a little nerve-wracking. And, you know, several of the symptoms and things that I had experienced, you know, several times it was, you know, oh, do you have COVID?
Oh.
So I'll go get the test, it mm-hmm. would come back negative, you know, and then we had to keep going through, you know, to get the diagnosis. So I do feel like COVID, you know, in some ways did slow down that diagnosis even more than it would have, you know, let's say if this had happened pre-COVID.
Right, right.
Yeah, I've heard on the news a lot of people have put off going to the doctor because of fear.
Right, and a lot of tests were put on hold as well. Like
right.
If it wasn't life or death,
because they didn't have
yeah.
the staff.
Right.
To, yeah.
Right.
It has complicated everybody's lives. That's for sure.
For sure.
Lindsay, what has helped you and your family get through this pandemic?
I think for me, you know, COVID kind of, I think, forced all of us to slow down in some ways. You know, and especially with having multiple conditions, you know, we only have so much energy. But growing up, you know, I was always the one that was always on the move. So COVID, I think, kind of reminded me, you know, to slow down.
Okay.
I was able to, you know, start taking time for some of the hobbies that, you know, had kind of gone to the wayside, you know,
mm-hmm.
as I was, you know, going around trying to, you know, just live life and do the most that I could. And also, my company did go to work from home.
Oh, okay.
So,
oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for me, you know, that did become helpful in, you know, there's so much even just going to work
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you have to plan for with a medical condition.
Right.
So being able to be in my home where I was comfortable, especially going through these diagnoses, you know, with dysautonomia, I was having a lot of, you know, dizziness,
mm-hmm.
I was fainting, things like that. So I couldn't imagine going through that in an office. At least being at home, I was, you know, somewhere that I was comfortable. I had my husband, with me. So that made things, you know, ease that anxiety of, you know, not having to mask some of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And can you continue to work at home?
So we're going to go to a hybrid schedule. So we will be in the office some, but there will be periods that I'm able to work from home as well.
Okay, good.
That's good.
Yeah. And Lindsay, how has your healthcare team helped you through the pandemic? And how has your ability to receive healthcare changed?
I've learned to use the portals a lot more. So, you know, most of them now do allow video visits where prior to the pandemic, I really only had one provider that offered that.
Okay.
And in addition to that, you know, when things pop up in between the appointments, you know, normally I would just, you know, schedule an appointment, go in and talk to the doctor. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more communication just on the portal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas, you know, previously it was a lot more appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like a lot of those doctors have also gotten better about, you know, responding more quickly to some of those, you know, to help me manage those symptoms, especially learning about new diagnosis that, you know, I wasn't familiar with.
Right.
Prior to both dysautonomia and fibromyalgia, I mean, I'd heard of them, but mm-hmm. I really did not know much at all. So there were a lot of questions that would pop up, and there was a lot of that communication back and forth, and even between some of my providers as well.
Oh, that's great.
Right. Communication is key.
Yeah. And Lindsay, has it been challenging to get any of your medications or anything of that nature during the pandemic?
To some extent. I know for me, I do have one medication that goes through a specialty pharmacy.
Okay.
So we all know, you know, how mailing and, you mm-hmm. know, USPS has been affected during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, early on, I had some close calls with, you know, am I going to get this medication in time? Because it's not something I can go to the pharmacy and get. It does have to be mailed. And, you know, to plan for that mm-hmm. as well
mm-hmm.
Isn't the easiest thing. I did also notice for some of my medications, you know, that normally I could go pick up whenever, the pharmacies were having to order them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were times that I missed a dose or two,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, with any medical condition, you know, when you take these things daily and you do miss a dose or two just because the pharmacy can't get that medication, you know, that's difficult. There yeah. were times I would drive across town because my pharmacy didn't have it, but one of the others within our city did.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a little bit more difficult to get some of those medications.
Yeah, the mm-hmm. supply chain seems to have really been impacted.
Challenged, yeah.
Right. You know, the people that are transporting the drugs, the people that are making the drugs. I mean, you know, every step along the way has been impacted by this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some of it, you know, was medications that I didn't understand why that was shorted. You know, some of them, because they are, you know, so specific, for them to even be impacted kind of blew my mind. You know, it wasn't just, you know, one or two medications. It was, I mean, nearly all of them that mm-hmm. was impacted in some way, obviously some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not an effect of the pandemic that I was expecting.
Sure. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know they do say, like, you know, prepare for emergencies and have a backup, you know, like a supply of medication. But in reality, most insurance companies won't let you do that.
Right.
So it's nice to say, you know, in a perfect world, but, you know.
Yeah, the insurance company says you're not ready for that refill yet.
Especially with certain medications. Like, I know for me, one of the ones I had issues with was I do take Ritalin. And, you know, that's very highly regulated. You know, they give you like 3 days, but when I go, you know, try to fill it right into that 3 days, and they're like, oh, it's going to take us 5 days to get it.
Oh, geez.
You know, then you're like, what am I supposed to do? You know, I can't get it ahead.
Right.
But you guys don't have it.
Yeah, that's...
So it's the battle between, you know, so many different factors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, and COVID, yeah, made everything complicated.
Yes,
yeah.
Made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay, how has self-care routine changed since we spoke in April of 2020?
I don't necessarily think it has changed a ton. It's just I've put more of a priority on it.
Okay.
Prior to COVID, you know, there would be times that I kind of didn't follow through with it as, you know, the best that I should have.
Mm-hmm.
But with COVID, you know, it really made me understand, you know, I need to stick to that. You know, because there's so much when we're not, you know, our best, in our best mindset, you know, that can affect these symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I really did see, you know, how important some of the mental health stuff was, because I mean it was hard at first, I think, for, you know, everyone. And then when you have these medical conditions, it can be made worse by stress, anxiety, and those things of those that nature. You know, just the importance, even when we think we don't need the self-care, you know, still taking care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I can see that.
Yeah.
And Lindsay, how has having multiple rare conditions influenced your career path and your career choices?
Yeah, so prior to my narcolepsy diagnosis, I was working actually as an outside sales rep.
Okay.
But being diagnosed with narcolepsy, you know, that wasn't the best choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did completely change career paths. I ended up going and working for a technology company, you know, in more of a customer service type of role.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, you know, that company has been very accommodating and has helped me tremendously with, you know, learning how to manage my symptoms at a job, because that was the first time, you know, I've had to do that. And, you know, even more so as I've added these additional diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, making the choice to, you know, continue on there, part of it is, you know, because I know that I have that support there, where other companies, you know, probably wouldn't be as supportive as they are. And even when looking at roles, you know, something that I don't have to drive, something that, you know, I can work at home,
mm-hmm.
at least, you know, in part, has really influenced, you know, the choices that I've made, so that I can, you know, not only be as comfortable as I can, but also, you know, sorry, brain fog.
No, I can see that, you know, a company that supports someone, you're more likely to...
do a better job.
You're going to do a better job. And if they're letting you work from home, I mean, that's very supportive. So kudos to them.
Right.
And kudos to you for finding
I wonder if working for a larger company is better for people with chronic illness, because they maybe have a better understanding. And
I'm not going to make any judgment calls there. But I'm glad you were able to find a company like that.
Yeah.
And able to work from home for a while, too.
Sure. And Lindsay, what support have you received during your journey? Like your family and friends, how have they helped you on your healthcare journey?
Yeah, so they, you know, have been very supportive, you know, understanding that I may not have the energy, and obviously, you know, not always in the midst of COVID, but, you know, when we do see each other, you know, understanding that it may be me just laying around in my pajamas at my house and mm-hmm. being okay with that. Sometimes helping me get medical appointments especially with some of these rare conditions, you know, there's not always a specialist right nearby for helping me, you know, drive to those appointments. And also, in addition to that, you know, people that I've connected with online that understand some of these diagnoses firsthand, there's a completely different level of support that you get from that, from having someone that shares that condition and knows what it's like going through it. Because as much as, you know, everyone else does want to understand, there's things that you don't understand, so you have to deal with them yourself. And having that added support has helped immensely as well.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, it's always good.
Good to have somebody in your corner.
I was going to say, I was going to mention somebody, but I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a couple people to refer you to for, you know, they're great supporters and advocates. Lindsay, now that things are starting to open up again, you know, travel, restaurants, businesses, what are you looking forward to doing in the next, say, year or so?
One of the biggest things I'm looking forward to is just live music.
Oh.
I wouldn't even say just concerts, but being able to, you know, in the summers, we would always go to some of these, like, festival in the park and, you know, just small local bands.
Right.
Cover bands, get out on the lawn chairs, you know, eat at the food trucks, that type of thing. And I miss that. I miss the concerts as well. But just being able to be around people, you know, enjoying that music, enjoying that food, and also traveling, you know, even trips just to the beach, you know, something that we used to take for granted. You know, it really made me realize, like, how many things had just, you know, become so normal to me that, you know, we're taken away in an instant, you know, just because of COVID. And I'm really excited to have both of those back.
I forgot, what part of the country are you in again?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, okay. Are you near the ocean?
We're not super far. It's about 3 hours.
Okay.
And then there are several even lakes near us
as well. Okay. Well, I hope you can get out there and enjoy a little bit of nature, because that can certainly up your mood and increase your immune system.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about someone we interviewed, Eugenie Hsu, and she's on the West Coast. And what they did in their neighborhood is they had like a drive-through concert where different people that have musical inclinations would be in their driveway playing at certain times, and they scheduled it in their neighborhood. So, like, you could go to so-and-so's house, and they were going to be playing, you know, guitar. And then you would drive to the next person's house, and they'd be playing something else. And then they also had it on YouTube Live.
Right.
Or Facebook Live.
Right.
And so that everybody was able to kind of do, you know, have a concert, but at a safe distance, and also just bring awareness to their neighborhood as well, which was kind of, it just sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does. I will say I did do some of the live concerts that, you know, they stream.
Oh, good.
But I had not ever thought about doing a drive-through concert. That sounds really cool.
It does. Yeah. It just the fact that they had that sense of community.
Right.
Set
it up.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Yeah.
You could start that with, like, high school or college kids that are in bands.
Sure. You know, and it gives them an opportunity to perform as well.
And practice, right?
Right, right.
Well, Lindsay, what additional tips or hints or advice do you have for our audience for somebody that's been recently diagnosed with a rare disease?
My biggest advice would be finding your support system. You know, whether it's family, friends, or people within, you know, the rare disease or even your condition-specific community. Just having those people that you can go to when you're having that rough day that just truly understand what you're going through, and having that support through the ups and downs of it, because it does take time to, you know, cope with that diagnosis.
Sure.
I forgot who had mentioned it. You know, it's almost like going through a grieving process.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's not something you can do alone, but just, you know, having that support system is so key to being successful at it.
Yeah,
and you don't realize how much you can learn, you know, from some of these other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what our listeners are doing right now.
Yes. They're learning from you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Lindsay, thank you again for joining us. How can our listeners learn more about you?
The best way is on Instagram. I'm on Instagram as Once Upon a Drem, D-R-E-M, and there's periods between the D-R-E-N-M.
Oh, okay.
I found it, yeah.
Perfect. And then I'm also on Twitter as well. I'm trying to learn Twitter. but those are the two easiest ways to get a hold of me.
Great.
Yeah, and I picture you in your wedding dress on a swing.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's the image that immediately pops to mind. Yeah.
Yes, I love that picture. Even though it was 3 years ago, it's still one of my favorite pictures.
Yeah. That's a great one.
It's classic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com through our website, podcastdx.com. We're found on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and now on TikTok.
Yeah, we also don't quite know what we're doing with TikTok.
We're learning.
It's a learning curve. And if you have a moment to spare.
I have not got to that point yet.
I don't know how to control it.
It was a brave leap, but we made it.
I haven't made the leap. I'm terrified of it. If you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.